When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is a Phonic Media production.
What would have happened in your life if you'd have taken a different path, if you'd have made a different move, if you'd have gone in a different direction? I'm not even going to edit out. Fuck it. Today we're talking about sliding doors and what tiny changes might have made the biggest impact on your life. Why are your nostrils flaring?
Hey friend!
Hey friend, how the devil are you? Hope all is well in your world.
Yeah.
Wow, is that it?
Wow, yeah, hope you're good.
Let's just reference it. If you're watching this on YouTube, obviously there's something a little bit different about today's podcast. If you're listening,
you're probably thinking I look pretty cool today because I'm wearing sunglasses.
Hayley has gone full Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
She's wearing sunglasses indoors.
But not because I want to look cool, but because I've had a migraine, haven't I, for like three days.
Babes.
And I suddenly thought the lights might be a bit much. So Jane said, wear sunglasses. Here I am. It's actually really nice.
Yeah, and you look super cool as well.
Good.
You don't look like a diva.
No.
Much. No. To be fair, there is like brighter than the sun
so
in this room when
so
you're
bright.
Recording. So yeah. There you go. Anyway, today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about what would have happened if you'd have made tiny little changes.
Yeah, like the sliding doors effect.
Sliding doors effect. What would happen if you could turn back time? That's right, a Cher. If you're worried that that's the only song that has the word time in it, fear not, friends.
I love that song. Now, sliding doors. Yeah, Aqua.
Aqua must have absolutely
who did Barbie Girl,
fucking
Mr.
rinsed
Jones,
it last year.
Dr. Jones, sorry, not Mr. Jones. Dr. Jones.
You wouldn't have thought that was going to be a band that was super successful,
but it was.
Barbie soundtrack. Yeah. How much money do you reckon they made from Barbie soundtrack last year?
Ridiculous.
I'm going to find out later.
And they wrote that song, and sliding doors was the movie with Gwyneth Paltrow. Now, I think I've seen it. But I'm not sure. Like, I feel like I'm going to go and watch it again. And I was sat there this morning and I was just thinking, sliding doors. Like, how many things in life, small, large, like if you'd made a different decision or taken a different path, where would we be?
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're on a journey of growing a business, I would say that that's probably something that happens
daily.
Continuously.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I thought it was quite interesting. So the actual
term... Have you ever watched the film The Butterfly Effect?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that was on that list
too.
Have you ever watched it? Parallel Universe,
yes.
Butterfly Effect and Sliding Doors.
I've not seen Parallel Universe. No, that's not.
They were just saying these are like three things all around that kind of subject. Butterfly Effect. I've seen that. That's
Ashton Kutcher.
But I can't remember what Butterfly Effect is.
So the Butterfly Effect is if you change one thing, you incrementally change everything else that happens. So if people say, oh, what would you change about blah, blah, blah? But if you change that, yeah, effectively, it's like a ripple.
Hence it can have a negative impact on someone else.
Potentially, or a good thing. Yeah.
So it says here, the term sliding doors moment became popularised in the late 20th century, meaning seemingly inconsequential moments that nonetheless alter the trajectory of future events.
Mm.
God, that's a mouthful, isn't it? So I thought it was quite funny, like thinking about if you went back and you were thinking about times where if we'd taken a different decision, where would we be now? Oh, I like it. Oh, it's very
now?
Godmother. So, for example, if you think back,
you also, by the way. I don't know why I keep touching your arm just because you're
know, your
so beautiful
freezing.
Today.
Get off me.
But you don't actually know probably the big thing because you'd be like, oh, it's when I took that job or when I worked abroad or whatever. But actually, leaving the house 5 minutes late one day might have meant you didn't get into a car crash.
Oh, God, that's
like, sorry,
really,
but, no, but
really
you actually don't. And that's the whole thing with the butterfly effect is that you actually don't know the stuff that you didn't step off the path in the wrong direction. You didn't break your leg. You didn't bump into the wrong person. You didn't, like, whatever it may be. You would never know.
I met you,
it's
the love of my life, and not
lucky
this
you.
Real gorgeous man standing over there.
Lucky
I met you. So happy.
Can you not rub the back of my dry arms, please?
But it is things like that. So it was like, I just started making some notes and I was thinking, if you go like way, 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 way back to like secondary school,
where
when you
back?
Fill in those awful record of achievements that probably don't exist anymore. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
And then you have those meetings.
The big red books is like, fucking, this is your life.
Shit things.
Do you remember This Is Your Life? That's a good show.
All your failed grades go in there like, thanks. But it's almost like...
Did you fail? What did you get? You didn't fail, did you?
Not really, no.
Legend, eh? Just a little legend. Just turn up, rock up and get your scores. Did you try hard at school? I bet you absolutely fucking cuffed it.
No, do you know what? I went to a grammar school with 18
other
people.
Oh, hello.
I know, from my primary
school. Big in the game. So 18 of you went?
18. So if you've got kids at school, you'll understand this. It's a whole thing, like 11 plus. Some schools teach children to pass 11 plus to get into a grammar school and some don't. If your school doesn't, like ours, you then have to potentially get tutors to get them just to understand how to pass a test.
What do you mean ours?
It's a joke.
Doesn't. Where our kids
go? Yeah.
They don't train for the 11 plus?
No.
The fuck are we sending them there for?
So you have to get tutored.
Kid wants to be a bloody paleontologist.
I know.
How's he going to do that?
It's crazy. Anyway, but when I was at school, it was a given, you did it. And I passed by 4 points. So I was like bottom of the barrel.
Still counts.
And all of my family had gone to the non-grammar school.
Yeah.
But all my friends were going to the grammar school. So I was just like, do you know what? I'm going to do that. And it was, my uniform was like bright purple. Like I stood out like a sore thumb. Literally purple thumb. But
are you allowed to not go to a grammar school if you pass though?
Yeah. You can go to whatever school you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You don't have to.
Fine.
But anyway, to cut this boring story short.
I didn't know that because I failed twice.
I am a massive believer that because of going to that school, I almost had to keep up. So I wouldn't say that I was like the best academically at all. I wasn't. But you had to keep up to a certain level. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I did okay at school. Whereas if I'd gone to a school, say, that wasn't a grammar school, even though I might have been the highest grade, I don't think that would happen for me. I'm more like, I definitely am someone that sort of like depends
absorb
on my...
the environment.
Yeah, it absorbs my surroundings. Anyway, but when we were at school and I remember having that conversation of like, what do you want to be? Let's talk about your career and all this. And at the time...
It's a careers advisor, isn't it? It's a whole job.
I'd love to find out who these people actually are. Can you imagine?
Should
like,
get one really? On the podcast.
Yeah. If you're a careers advisor at a school, please get in touch. And I think at the time, it was, for me, it was being a teacher. And then I had like a bit of an interest in child psychology. And I don't
really?
Think they gave me anything to do with any of that. And I actually ended up going on to college to do performing arts. What about you? You wanted to be an archaeologist, didn't you?
Yeah, that's when I was a little kid.
But imagine if you actually had wanted to do that.
And now the fact that I wanted to be a paleontologist.
Yeah. Imagine me as a teacher.
No. For the safety of children,
like,
I don't want to.
Sometimes think, oh,
I could actually see you as a teacher, to be fair, because you're very caring.
Yeah.
You're quite strict.
Yeah.
You're like caring in a non-loving way. You're loving in a cold way.
Yeah. It's like I can be caring.
Yeah,
but
caring,
I can
but
utterly
an icy
just
bitch.
Like be like, yeah, shut yeah. up. I mean, yeah. you can't tell children to shut up, but I could just be like, no, don't do that. Stop.
What age would you have taught?
Primary.
Well, little ones.
Just primary. So whatever age in primary school.
Yeah, but you don't just.
No, you can. You can teach any. When you're a primary school teacher, you can teach any age in primary school.
Oh, really? They don't specialise in like reception or year one or?
No, I don't think so. I'd probably prefer...
Fine.
Maybe like the slightly older ones.
Yeah, I see that.
But, I mean, imagine if I'd gone on to be a teacher, I wouldn't have done performing arts at college, which means I wouldn't have then gone on to get a job with, say, Thomas Cook, because I wouldn't have had any interest in performing arts. So then my whole life abroad, those whole 5 years, wouldn't have existed. Mm. I wouldn't have met you.
Fail.
But it's mad, isn't it? And the same with like, if you were an archaeologist, imagine you.
But what
be
did
out
you
digging.
Digging.
Digging. What do they dig?
Buildings and stuff, I guess.
Oh.
Fucking
like old
like
ruins and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like Egypt. I'd probably be in Egypt.
Yeah?
In the catacombs.
Oh, nice.
Trying to find Tutankhamun. He's already been found. Don't try and find him.
Yeah, that's what Louis said today, didn't he? He just said, I really want to become a paleontologist. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like expensive. But
when you were, so like at the age of, I wanted to be an archaeologist when I was like a little kid because I liked history. I'm very intelligent, guys. I just cover it up well. But when I was older, I had no fucking idea. I just hated school. I can't have
you keep saying that to the kids. Oh, I hate school. I'm like,
no,
don't say
no,
that.
I don't say it to them.
I
very
think we
often.
Have to be very careful as parents not to portray our experience of
Louis's naughty little mate was me back at school, though.
Yeah, but you that love was, it. Look at you. You're so pathetic. Was, your eyes are like gleaming. You're like, yeah, I was so naughty. Like, and what?
I'm not saying that.
No, you are. Just saying that. I can see it. You think it's all, fun to be naughty.
All good. I do.
Yeah. Well, like Louis's so not that. Oh, you're awful. George might be that, but Louis.
George is definitely.
But that's what
be
I'm
that.
Saying. It's almost like, oh, I didn't like maths, so you won't like maths. Like, you can't do that. Can
no,
you?
Of course you can't. No. But so what I was getting at before, sorry. I had a fucking inadvertent Monday morning telling off. Oh, sorry, Tuesday, because we've recorded it in real
yeah.
time. Fresh out the bag this morning. Fresh out the bag.
Shut
but
up.
What did you want to be at that age where you were deciding at secondary school?
What do you mean?
Because by then you already liked performing arts, didn't you? But they're telling you, the careers advisor comes in like year 10, don't they?
No lie, right? This actually sums me up quite well my whole life. I remember being sat in this hall and we had like a sheet and it was almost like, these are all the subjects you can do for A-level and this is like to stay on at school, like sixth form.
Right.
And I remember looking down this list and just thinking, no, no, no. Yeah, I suppose I could do art. No. No, no, drama, yeah. And then you had to have like one other thing that was just bollocks, do you know what I mean? Like just to make it up. And I was like, no. And then some, I don't even know how it came on my radar. I think one of my best friends was looking at then going to college because she decided she wanted to be a lawyer. So she wanted to go and study, like do something in wow. law. And I was like, oh, hadn't even thought
lawyer?
About it. She became, I know the last time, and I haven't seen her for years, she became like a legal secretary and went down that route.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, and that's when I was like, picked up a brochure and saw performing arts, like do this whole diploma and you get to do singing and dancing and acting. And I was like, that sounds way fun. Let's do that.
But people have not picked up on that in your school? So this careers advisor person who's there to help you decide
no,
your career?
That's what I mean. I don't remember it being really connected at all. I think you just sort of feel like, oh yeah, maybe like child psychology or maybe teaching.
Do you know what's weird about the careers advisor? I remember sitting in the room, but I can't remember the person at all. And it was next to the music rooms.
Yeah.
And it was almost like they're little fucking prison cells. So you sort of walked in there and they would sit, it wasn't, but it just felt like it. But every day at school felt like prison, to be fair. But you sat in there, but I can't tell the kids. But you sat in there and then this like random person you've never met, because they're like outside people, aren't they? You're like, who the fuck are these people? Where do they get recruited from? And they're like, what would you like to do? And I had no idea. But when I look back now in that
record of achievement,
that fucking big red book, I wrote that I wanted to own a nightclub, open a bar,
oh my God,
or become a holiday rep.
And they were probably like, no, that's not good enough.
But I was...
You actually smashed it. Well done,
thanks,
James.
Thanks very much. Thanks, a big achiever.
I think I just wrote what they wanted us to write.
But I can't remember consciously being aware that, I liked like nightclubs and bars and stuff, even though I was 16.
You
like
drinking?
No, like not at that age. But I just liked entertainment. I liked fun. I was that's where the fun's going to be.
Oh, Shane,
yeah, Shane, that died inside me. But my mates would do like under-18 discos and DJs and all that sort of stuff.
But we were like, we're totally going off.
But the holiday rep
thing, I think we need to save this conversation. I think we could do a whole episode on like career advice.
But this is like sliding doors.
And school. Oh, I suppose it is like sliding doors, yeah. But because we were having recent conversations with friends about secondary school and the options there, and that's probably what I'm thinking.
Oh, God,
that's like a completely different thing. Let's not go there. We'll save that for another time.
Our best friends have got a great idea with secondary school, and now Hayley's in the third stage of grief.
And it might involve travelling the world. I think we could do like a whole subject on that. But when I was looking back as well, I was laughing. Like, obviously, I've just picked out some things. But imagine when me and you got together and... We met through Thomas Cook, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We got together. And then I think the day you asked me out, I was actually flying to Cuba with one of my
friends.
not a boyfriend, but it was a boy, but it was a friend, going to Cuba for 2 weeks. And I'm always laughing, thinking like, it's almost like you just wanted to hook me in before I went away. And then when we come back, we've only been together like
Hang
a year.
Hang on a second. Is that your genuine thought? I tried to hook you in?
Hook me in.
You're only going for a fucking fortnight.
So I didn't, you know, sign
up for 20
when
years
I went out
of...
There. I'm joking. And then we were only together, what, a year? And then you proposed to me when we was on holiday in Ibiza. Imagine if I had said no. And I was laughing in my head. And I wrote here, Imagine if Hayley had said no to James's proposal, leaving him cold and ashamed on the white sands of Ibiza.
That sums you up. Why would I be cold and ashamed on the white sands of Ibiza?
We'd only been together a year, hadn't we?
Had we?
Yeah, we'd been together a year.
Sounds cheesy though, but I knew like, I mean, you were the one.
I'm a catch, right?
The longer I spend with you, the more I question my decisions. But I knew from the first, and this is like proper cheesy, but I knew from the first like night that we spent together.
First time.
Shut up.
Ever I saw
no,
your
don't
face.
Touch me with your great crusty hands. But I knew, I was like, oh, she's actually the one.
She's the one.
No. Oh, how many shit songs are you going to sing about yourself? No,
carry on.
But yeah, I knew straight away.
She's the one.
So I thought, oh no, I'll lock it in.
I'll lock it in. And we'd gone on holiday. So it's our first holiday, hadn't we? We'd gone to Ibiza, a club in Ibiza.
That wasn't our first holiday. See, I think you're mixing this up. What about Turkey?
That was after.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Ibiza was our first. We went clubbing and all sorts, didn't we? It's fun.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then we'd gone out that one night and you were just being really, like, really sort of, like, jittery.
It was the first night.
And I think I kind of clocked, didn't I, that something was going to happen. And then we was walking back. And then there was like this little alcove onto the beach, and we walked on there. And literally, as soon as your foot hit that sand, you were like on your knee, like, Hayley, will you marry me? And I was like, yeah. We were probably just like drunk and like.
No, we weren't drunk.
No.
Don't diminish the love. Do not diminish the love.
It was romantic.
It was very romantic.
It was.
But the reason why. No, the reason why I did it and it was all cagey is because we'd fallen asleep. So I'd taken the ring with me. I had to sneak
the sunset cafe. We've spoke about this before, haven't we?
Yeah.
We were going to go see the sunset cafe Mambo.
The shabbiest fucking engagement ever. Might as well have done it on the strip at Magaluf.
Do you know what? When you said the word chav, and then I just thought back, and it was like, you were such a chav back then. Imagine if I'd said no, though, and just gone, I just think it's a bit too soon. It would have just like ruined everything, wouldn't it?
Via this podcast, you make it sound like all of the affection is like in one direction.
It
like
is.
You were obsessed with me. Like,
I mean, I was
properly obsessed.
I was. You were very funny, very charismatic, gorgeous. He could sing, he could dance. Everyone just loved you, didn't they?
They did.
And I was obsessed. I am obsessed.
Right, somebody take a clip of that.
I am obsessed with James.
There you go.
I wrote here, imagine if you'd never got kicked off the radio. Imagine if you actually became a radio star, and then the world wouldn't have phonic media, would they?
You wouldn't be making this
magic.
The world is crying audio tears.
You wouldn't
right
have
now.
This magic. Imagine if I'd won the presenting competition and been a megastar on MTV. I don't think I'd have lasted long, to be fair. I don't think I'm the right caliber.
Do you know what, though? When I look back at that kind of stuff, especially the radio thing, because at the time, I thought, I'm trying really hard. I didn't try fucking at all. Did not try.
Mediocre.
At all. Fucking pathetic.
Absolute scum. Scum. It's way too harsh.
But at the time, like, I got that one sort of presenting gig on that national station. That ended.
And then you were like, oh, that's
and then
it.
I was like,
ruined my career.
Then I was just putting out demo discs. That's how far back we go now. We used to send like CDs to like radio stations. But actually, I could have done loads of shit.
Didn't want it.
But you don't know what you don't know.
Here's
if you're looking back now.
Yeah, if you look back now, here's a big one. Imagine if you'd made it to the live shows of X Factor. Could you imagine?
I don't think that would have made a massive impact.
Well, you never know.
In my life.
You
I've got somebody reached out to me on LinkedIn the other day asking me to go on their podcast, which is like an expose of X Factor.
Oh,
because she had
like
been on it. Katie Worrell.
I can imagine.
Whatever her name was.
To be fair, we was at our friend Robin Nay. Shout out Robin Nay. And whenever we go there for a weekend, you can guarantee we're going to watch some random stuff on telly.
Oh.
And this time it was the old original reruns of
X Factor. Yeah.
And no offence, but oh my God, the singing was atrocious.
Horrific, yeah.
Like so bad.
Apart from Shane
so
Ward.
Bad.
I'm living the light. That wasn't Shane Ward, was it?
Talking about signed doors, this is a bit different, right? And this is what all links in. So the other day we were saying about sliding doors or more innuendo sliding doors, how you can live this like parallel universe. You know, like when kids say something that's completely innocent, but then to us, it is so rude. And we do it so often, don't we? Like, obviously, they would never know, but Louis will say something and James will often make a comment, normally about me, and I'll be like, James, stop it. And the other day, we were watching a film.
Oh,
it was The Cruise.
So good.
And out of nowhere, this is what Louis said. There's this gorgeous, big, saber-toothed tiger character that chases like them around.
It's beautiful,
like different colours.
It's a lovely film, actually.
It's a really nice film.
Especially for kids like dinosaurs.
And then Louis basically described it like this.
What is the name of that? What is the name of that thing there, Lou?
A big scary pussy.
What is it actually though? Like a saber-toothed tiger?
A big scary pussy.
And honestly, I was absolutely crying.
Oh,
and then I had
it just
to
came out
like,
of nowhere, though, didn't it? It just came out of absolutely nowhere.
Just the amount of times. And
but
I was,
it is. It's just a big, scary pussy.
And it made me thinking about not sliding doors, but almost like the parallel universe. Like, you know, look, even when you watch the TV shows like Bluey, or like when you used to even watch The Simpsons, which is probably a bit older, but there's certain things that kids are just not getting and that the adults get. But that, when he was sat there so innocently, yeah, it's just a big pussy. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't even explain why I'm laughing.
I was like the other side of the living room and I just heard it. You know, you just get stopped in your tracks.
Oh,
like, what did he
and
just
I was
say?
Like, so there's nothing wrong with that. Of course you can say that. But it was just like, it just absolutely tickled me. And then we was in the car and there's a group of us that go away every August and we've got a group and the group name is called Dirty Devon. Because we were going to Devon, and so it's just like Dirty Devon, because it's just like a bit of a joke, like, oh yeah, like all keys in the bowl sort of thing. It's a joke. And then we're in the car.
It's just alliteration because it's got a D in it.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's like a joke. And then we're in the car, and Louis's like, oh, mummy, someone's just put something in Dirty Devon. And I was like, oh,
what's
God.
Dirty Devon?
Yeah, what's Dirty Devon? And I was like, God. Oh, you know, like when you go to Devon and it's muddy. Okay, yeah. You've written something here. I'm not quite sure.
Oh, chicken burger in Spain.
Oh, God.
It's completely different, though. So, like, talking of innocent ignorance, so when we worked abroad...
We were very ignorant.
We were very ignorant. But I tried to learn Spanish.
I didn't.
What a surprise.
I literally
Hayley
was
made
like,
zero
language.
Fucking effort. What's that for?
Drink.
Drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I'd have, like, agua con gas, por favor. Yeah.
Wow. Is that all you got out of working
Pretty
there?
Much.
To be fair,
don't retain information, James. You know this about me.
I do know this about you.
Didn't need it.
Didn't need it at the time.
Didn't need it.
So, like all those stories, I was talking about this literally yesterday, about all those times where I'd sit down with your nan and granddad, they'd tell me amazing stuff.
I
and
know.
You'd be like, what did my granddad do? Did he do that?
I'm
like, how do you not fucking know this? You've been around the guy for 40 years.
I just don't retain information. It's absolutely awful.
It's because you don't care. You don't switch your brain on.
No,
to that
it's
stuff.
Not that I don't care. It's just that I don't need to know it. No, I do. Okay, that sounds really awful, doesn't it? It's like in that moment, I do. No, because my nan used to tell me all the stuff about the war and I remember that. I remember all of that. But anyway, we're not talking
yeah,
about
anyway,
war
sorry,
stories.
Yeah. So when we worked in Spain, I used to say to the staff, I was like, don't speak English to me, then I have to learn.
Oh, you're so great.
It's not about that. It's a bit of fucking effort if you're British, because otherwise you're like, oh, where's your beer?
Yeah, but I was doing them a favour because they wanted to learn, like, speak
Chavs.
British.
Chavs.
So I'd help them.
All right. Bruv, are you doing? All right. Anyway, so I, as part of my Spanglish efforts.
Oh, no, you didn't order a cock burger.
Yeah, it's exactly it.
No.
It's exactly it. So I didn't realise that for every day for 6 months, pretty much, so I used to go to the same place for lunch every day, because I'm fucking British and that's what we do. We're fucking holiday. But you can eat in the hotel, but when you work in a hotel,
oh, God.
You don't want to eat there because then everyone wants to talk
to
you the whole time.
No offence to the hotel tray, but when you work in
and you're
a
allowed to smoke in your uniform, so you've got to go out and go and have your fags.
I remember when I worked in Cyprus.
And a cigarello.
And the first night, they were like, you get free meals at the hotel. We were like, this is amazing. And the first night, it was like Chinese night. And we were like, oh, my God, we are living the dream. That shit gets boring after a couple of weeks.
Oh,
honestly,
yeah.
Chinese night became like more of a, I just don't want to eat anymore.
That's also because buffets, they try and make things colourful. So they just put fucking parsley or shit all over the top
dill.
Of everything. Oh,
dill.
Fucking dill.
Ooh.
Dill can fuck off. If you're watching this and you like dill, turn off now. Anyway, in Spain, so I would go every day to this place and I would say, and I would try to build relationships with people because I used to get, having like a nice experience. Like I got to go to like the staff paella night and none of the British staff went. But they just sat there speaking Spanish and I just ate this food and drank these beers and listened to everyone speaking.
Nice.
Couldn't speak a fucking word of it, but it was cool. Anyway, so I would go and see the lovely guy who owned the shop opposite the hotel and I would refer to him as mi hombre, hombre is friend.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking me, my, hombre, friend, mi hombre. after 6 months, one day I walk in there and he's got like six of his pals who are all there.
Oh, no.
They were just out like having a chat. And I'm like, hola, mi hombre. They all start fucking laughing.
No, what does it mean?
Oh. And he said, just to let you know that for the last 6 months, you've been calling me your boyfriend.
Oh, no.
He said, but I didn't have the heart to tell you because you're so enthusiastic. Oh. And I was like, oh, okay. So not only that, but this was also the same place where I'd go and ask for a pollo y queso y mayonesa, which is basically a cock burger with cheese and mayonnaise. Please. Now, if you're going to order a cock burger, you definitely want to have mayonnaise and cheese with it.
Can someone make a graphic with that, please? It might be awful.
But every single day, so I'd go, hola, mi hombre, uno bocata con queso and pollo.
Oh, no, it's
so I'm basically going, hello, my boyfriend, can I have a cock burger? With mayo and cheese. Did you say jizzy cheese?
With extra cheese.
Oh, extra cheese. They can't say
jizzy
that.
Jizzy cheese? What are you on?
Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway.
So good. I love it.
At least I tried. At least I made the
you
effort
did.
Anyway.
You did. You did.
Right, what have you got here? You've got this. You want to do that,
do you? It's going to be seamless, but it's not, is it?
No, it's definitely not. Right, time for a small business shout out. Even though you've got a migraine, you're giving it some great energy
today.
I know,
today. Can't
you're
say.
Bringing great energy.
So
here she goes.
I don't even know that this is a small business at all. They're called Pigment Productions Limited and they make greeting cards. But, oh my God, I bought a card recently for my friend's birthday and I cannot wait to give it to him because it just cracked me up. And the brand, so it's called Pigment Productions are the company and they do loads of different brands within it. And this range is called the Cuckoo range. And
where did you find it?
So I think
is
I bought
online?
It. No, I bought them in a supermarket.
Oh, okay.
I bought it in a supermarket. But if you go online, they just have some really funny ones. So I'm doing a big shout out to Pigment Productions Limited, in particular, the Cuckoo card range, because they have gold like this. Are you ready? Somewhere right now, someone is thinking about how fantastic you are. It's not me. I think you're a knob. And I was like, oh, that is so good. I've bought that for my friend. I can't wait. And I just did a screenshot. And if you go online, you can see some really funny ones. And I just love this one as well. How to find out if you're old. Fall down. If people laugh, you're young. If people panic, you're old. I was like, oh my God, that is so true.
That is good. I like that.
So our small business shout out goes to Pigment Productions Limited, in particular, their Cuckoo card range. So if you have a friend who has a good sense of humour, go check them out because I cannot wait to give that to my friend this year.
And if they haven't got a good sense of humour, probably don't hand that to them. Right, it is now time for a little bit of this. Have you been a mug?
Who's a mug? Now.
But not just moderately muggy, I have been muggy on national television.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Yes.
So I was national out last Thursday TV. And James says, I've been invited to come on to GB News to talk about the new London
rebrand
of the London Overground. I was like, oh, that's so cool. Recording it from home, I was like, oh, that's
kind of a big deal. Kind of a big deal.
My mum was staying with us, and we were like, okay, so we all got a dinner, and we were sat around the telly waiting to watch it.
Like a 1960s
And then James
family.
Was upstairs, and we were like, it started off so well.
It did start off so well.
So well.
Dalton, James Bird.
So
James,
far.
Welcome to the show. Always a pleasure. A lot of people were saying £6.3 million, James, is a lot of wonga to spend on a rebadging exercise. But before we get into the kind of common sense of this, that's a lot of money. Is it a complete and utter waste of dosh?
Well, this could be the shortest segment of all time because, yes, it categorically is. If you traditionally look at what a rebrand is designed to do, and I Googled
it. So there you go. So far, so good. He's talking about branding.
It is to change directional vision. Or
very nice. Very nice. He sounds intelligent. He knows what he's talking about. He's been introduced as the brand consultant. You know, the media go-to.
Yeah.
You know, the production company phoned me up out of nowhere. Hey, we've been suggested that you could come on and talk about this.
The dream.
Brilliant. So now national TV knows that I'm the go-to guy for brand experience.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So far, so good.
And then to round it up, after the conclusion that it's been a big waste of massive money, James gets asked the question.
So this is what happened. The guy said to me, out of fucking nowhere, they'd prepped me And they told me, like, oh, we're going to talk to you about this, that and the other. We're going to talk to you in this kind of way. And we, you know, do a bit of research on this, that and the other. I'd done research. I knew examples of good rebrands, bad rebrands, ones that have gone categorically wrong. I knew about Royal Mail in 2002 that were going to rebrand as Consignia because they wanted to appeal to an outside international audience. I know all this shit. But what did he spring on me? Fucking maths. Just a random maths question. So this is me.
So embarrassing.
Being a mug on national TV because my basic maths was fucked.
I'll put this to you. Here's a question for you, James. A bit of pub trivia.
Pub trivia.
£3 million. That could have been spent on police officers. Guess how many police officers that would buy you? £6.3 million.
I would like you to join in at home.
Have a think.
£6.3 million.
How many police officers? How many police officers? £6.3 million get you?
I'll put this to you. Here's a question for you, James. A bit of
comes
trivia.
Out of nowhere, though.
£6.3 million. That could have been spent on police officers. Guess how many police officers that would buy you? £6.3 million.
I'm going to go 15,000.
No, it's 175.
So I was just a little bit wrong there. No. The answer, how many police officers does £6.3 million get you?
Brilliant.
It is 175 police officers. He then goes on to, and you see me just like go dead behind the eyes on the TV. And I just went, fair enough.
Yeah.
What can you even say?
No, James. Like,
it's 175. Oh, he then breaks down the math. Don't forget that the average salary of a police officer in the United Kingdom, in London, starting salary is £33,000.
So you have 15,000.
And then he goes on to talk about the suffragettes being a terrorist organisation.
But the way you said it would mean that their annual salary was like £400.
Yeah, we worked it out after that. How wrong was I? And yeah, the average salary would have been £420.
You're a mug.
Yeah, I'm afraid that I am a national TV mug. Have you been a mug?
Who's a mug?
Do you know what's really interesting?
Oh, I did take Muggy. Well, tell me about it. And they go, oh, no. Like, just tell us.
Tell us. There's no shame here.
Send us a voice note.
We're the people who go on national TV and look like fucking morons.
Do you know what I mean?
Just go to
at Business Marriage Pod on Instagram, send us a voice note or send us a text and just tell us. What have you done with Muggy?
Go on.
Well, blame someone else that's done something, Muggy.
Just tell us. Fuck them. Anyway, I don't think I'll be getting invited back on the TV. Do you know what's really interesting, though?
What?
Is that I put it out. I was like, oh, how to make yourself look like an idiot on national TV.
Yeah.
People generally thought they were like, oh, don't worry, mate. Oh, you've done so well. Oh, he was so out of order.
Oh, you were like really hurt by it.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't give a shit, guys.
Did you feel like a bit of a dick? And you were like, don't actually care. And I genuinely
didn't care, but...
So, rounding up this podcast, right?
Wow, here she goes.
Obviously, we've been talking about sliding doors. And last week, we were talking about manifestation. So I thought I'd just give you an update, which is a bit sliding door-esque. I've been actually forcing myself.
Come on, tell us.
I've actually been forcing myself whenever I've been feeling a bit like negative. Stop and go, no, this is not the path that I want to choose.
Tesco.
I don't care that you've ripped me off for £97 for two bags of shopping. I'm not bothered by that. It's fine.
It's fine.
Because I get to eat this lovely food and share it with my friends and make lovely memories.
It did seem a bit much for fucking lunch, though, didn't
it? I mean, it's a fucking rip-off. Don't get me started. I'm just saying, the manifesting, if anyone's interested, after listening to the podcast, this shit is real. Because I am honestly now just forcing myself to be like positive, think about that everything's there, there's abundance, I'm having very honest conversations with people, I'm making decisions about what I want, and stuff is going great.
What's happened since?
Just loads and loads of like...
Every time you pick up the phone, it's somebody who wants to be a client of yours and they just convert.
If I was clever and actually like spread out my workload like a normal person, then I would probably be booked up now for like half the year.
Yeah.
But I just work loads and loads and loads and just please everyone.
What's that?
Work holes. I just wanted to give you that little round up. Anyway, there you go. That's it.
All right, fantastic. Thank you for that.
So I've just got one little scenario here for a bit of fun. So this is to do with sliding doors. So I was thinking back to the day we met. So I'm going to kind of take the past, bring the future. Do Do you remember when we first
she's
had our,
manifesting,
like,
guys. She can do that. She manipulates time. She lives in the quantum.
Do you remember
the quantum.
Our first date when we were meeting in London?
I do
and I was
that.
Waiting for you at Charing Cross. And I thought to myself, imagine if something had changed and something had happened and we'd never met up. And I thought...
Because we did wait in the wrong place, didn't we for about half an hour.
We did, and we could have just given up and thought, he's not coming, she's not coming.
This was a day... We had mobile phones in those days.
We didn't use it because we were being polite, but yes, we did. So on our first date in London, we were meeting at London Charing Cross, and I was waiting. What would have happened if... Okay, so this is what I'm saying by I'm merging the past with the future because it doesn't all exist at the same time.
Okay.
On your way out the train station,
you
see a big commotion, lots of people.
What are they doing?
Huh? Oh, what's going on over there?
What's happening?
And all of a sudden you see these signs, it says Diary of a CEO. Oh my God. Stephen Bartlett was nearby. Suddenly you think, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I'd still just meet you. Oh, sorry, is that
do you go, A? You ignore it, carry on walking, the date is so much more important. B, you hang around, soak up some of the atmosphere. 30 minutes late isn't that bad. C, you ask me to come and meet you because there's some shit going on with Stephen Bartlett. Or D, you cancel the date and don't show up.
A.
Really?
At that time. Did
you love me that much or because you're just not that bothered about Stephen Bartlett?
Both.
Fuck's sake.
Both.
Who could I have said then that might have made you go, Ryan Reynolds?
No. Maybe like Branson.
Richard Branson.
Yeah, but... At that point in time, like nothing was more important than that day. Because it was after Christmas.
I still remember what I wore on that day. Is that weird?
Do you?
Yeah, I had a grey sort of like V-neck long sleeve sort of T-shirt on, sort of like 3/4 length denim skirt, which sounds awful when I think about it.
Did you get dressed in the dark?
Yeah, I had knee-high boots, but they were like wedges, black. And furry, and I had black tights because I remember the tights sort of like came up to just under my boobs, and we were having a laugh about it. And I remember you had your black puffer jacket. I don't know what you were wearing now, but I remember we ended up in a bar in was it Tiger
Leicester Square,
and some guy started doing like card tricks on us.
Is that the night?
It was really random.
Was that the night we went to go and see Blood Brothers?
Yeah, and someone pretended to steal my bag, but didn't steal my bag.
Yeah, that was weird.
And Blood Brothers is like, everyone goes, oh, it's such an amazing show. It's not a show for a first date. Like, it's way too serious. It was just absolutely, we just laughed the whole way through.
There's just that one song, wasn't there? Like, Marilyn Monroe. And every time she came on, we're like, fucking hell, Marilyn Monroe's back again.
Oh, God, get off. Anyway, so you would have still just come and met me?
Yeah.
I mean, more to you than Stephen Bartlett. Maybe
100%.
Not now. Even now?
Yeah, more than Bartlett, yeah.
So connected. Love you.
Okay.
Sliding doors. Here we are.
But you don't, I'm telling you though, you don't know those sliding doors moments. The biggest moment of your life, you might not even be consciously aware that you were having that moment.
That's deep.
It's deep. If you'd like to get deep with us, feel free to go to Business Marriage Pod. It ain't that deep. Go to Business Marriage Pod, at Business Marriage Pod on Instagram. Let us know your business shout-outs. Let us know your muggy moments.
Yeah, just talk to us. Tell us, what are you doing?
Mug yourself off.
What you got
going
on?
Mug somebody else off. We don't give a fuck, quite frankly. If you are enjoying this on YouTube as well, do us a favour. Click the like button, because apparently it really helps with like the algorithm and all that.
Yeah.
Clever shit. And if you haven't liked it, don't click the thumbs down button, because that means that you have 15 years bad luck.
Yeah,
did you?
That'd be really mean as well. Don't do that.
We've got some guests coming up soon. We've got some other couples who are in business together. We have got some experts who are coming on. We might be talking about predicting your future or drawing your future. All that's to come. So make sure you click subscribe and you will get this podcast every time it goes live every Tuesday. See you later, you beautiful badgers.
Bye-bye.
This show is a Phonic Media production.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.